When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
See, man, I'm looking up at the screen in here. The topics, I hate this, man. I knew it was going to be this. Looking up at the screen on ESPN, First Take, are the Texans still legitimate contenders? Coming up next.
You're exactly right. Something you said earlier about how people that kind of just cruise in and check on the Texans here or there, look at DVOA or all that, just figure like, oh yeah, they're doing really well. They're a good team. Like, no, this is stuff that we've seen slowly burn throughout the first half of the season. It was a question of, okay, is it going to click at some point? Yes, they've got wins, but they're playing like a 500 football team. And then you go in and they didn't even do us the service of looking like a 500 football team last night. Last night, Titus Howard, I still can't believe this. He says the most frustrating part was we were the better team. We let that game get away from us. No. On what universe were you the better team last night? You were both awful football teams in the first quarter.
Right.
That was an embarrassment to the game of football in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You were both disgraceful in the first quarter.
I was absolving Al Michaels of any sort of boredom or lack of energy he was having in the first quarter of that game. Because I've been on Al Michaels.
Well, it sounded like he was having fun with it, at least.
He was. You know? No, he was joking around. Like, it was some of the stuff that they were coming back from break with, or Halloween topics that, or costumes that were more probably outside Al Michaels' age range. You know, they'd come back and be like, okay, first and 10. So he was funny last night.
No, I'm still, not to read too much into one quote. Guys don't always phrase things the way they mean to phrase them, but no, you're not the better team.
No.
What part? Like, who plays that football game and thinks, well, we were the better team? For a third week in a row, we didn't score a touchdown in the second half, but we're the better team. Like, what part of you watches your defense allow three straight full field touchdown drives in the second half and thinks that one slipped away from you? You got destroyed.
Yeah.
You're not the better team.
No.
Last night, the Jets were a much better football. You know why? Because there's four quarters in a football game.
Yeah.
Do they need to sit down and explain to these guys the rules of football?
Maybe.
That there's four quarters?
They need to
To be the better team, you've got to actually be better than them for four quarters?
Fellas, I brought in some referees today. I know it's Wednesday. We normally practice, but I brought in some referees today, and they're going to explain some things to you that you're having a little bit of trouble grasping this year, and that's okay. That's why we're bringing these referees in, and the guys are all sitting there, and the referee steps up to the podium. He says, guys, an NFL game, and it's always been this way, but we feel it's good to remind you, has four quarters. And everybody frantically pulls out their iPads and their notebooks, and they're like, four
Fact quarters. Check this guy. Yeah, I'm going to fact check this guy.
Four quarters. This guy's right, actually. I'm looking at all the box scores, and there's four quarters. And then they end the meeting. That's it. The meeting's over. Meeting adjourned.
Yeah. This is the, and the worst thing about that is, like, okay, you were the better team last night, and you let it slip away. It was 7-0 at the half.
Dude.
At what point did you, the... You were the less disgraceful team in the first
half.
Good
way to put it, Seth.
Only because you were going against the Jets in the way they played last night. You were less disgraceful than them, and it would have been 7-7 if the rookie running back had held onto the ball for a smidgen longer.
Yeah.
And on that play, by the way, that play, like three different defensive players got collapsed on that play, were completely unaware, just had their eyes in the backfield like kittens watching ping pong, and were just completely sucked inside on that play. So for an easy touchdown, like, no, you were not the better team last night. The Jets were decidedly better than you last night.
Think about the spot the Texans were in on Monday morning when we got, you know, when we got here. Beat the Colts on Sunday. You're 6-2. You're 5-0 in the conference. You're 3-0 in the division. You're 2-0 against the Colts. Every percentage that lines up is lining up with you being a 98% chance of making the playoffs, a 90-something percent chance of winning the division. I would imagine the percentages are still pretty good based on these computers, but the Colts, and so if you're a Colts fan and you're waking up on Monday morning, and again, this is before they made the announcement they were benching Anthony Richardson, you had to feel pretty helpless if you were a Colts fan, that you're two games back, really three, because you lost the two head-to-heads. And to that point, Anthony Richardson was still your quarterback, and you're feeling like, if you're the Colts, you're feeling like, man, is this a football season or is this a 17-game training camp for Anthony Richardson? This sucks to be a fan of this football team right now. And it's amazing how things can flip so quickly in just 3 days. Now, the Texans are still in the driver's seat, but the Texans have major issues that aren't nearly as easily solved as the Colts solving their major issue this week by benching Anthony Richardson and putting in Joe Flacco. If I'm a Colts fan right now, the combination of naming Joe Flacco the starting quarterback, Seth, and watching that game last night with the Texans and the Jets, and if I'm a Colts player, for that matter, watching that game last night, I have a little extra pep in my step. I'm going, okay, we go to Minnesota and pull off the upset this weekend to a Vikings team that's lost two in a row and is not the same team that started 5-0. We're on national TV this week. Joe's our quarterback now, not Anthony Richardson. We win that game, we're one game back in the standings. I know we don't have the head-to-head, but we are one game back, and the Texans play the Lions on Sunday Night Football. Like, that's how quickly that the vibe can turn.
I don't, if you have a
solution to your problem, which the Colts did, they had Joe Flacco. We have no solution to our problem right now.
There are multiple things going on right now, and I know it seems like, well, how much of a difference could just swapping out the left guard make? I think it could make a bigger difference than just the replacement of the player. It does then free you to just actually have Laremy Tunsil go ahead and block the best pass rusher on the team instead of sliding down to help out the left guard. So I think there are some things that would be cumulatively better than just swapping out the left guard. But the part that I get so disgusted about is the fact that the Texans didn't bench Kenyon Green last night.
Right.
They started him. They let Quinnen Williams hit C.J. Stroud repeatedly, and there's no guarantee that Kenyon Green wasn't going to be back out there on the next drive if Kenyon Green hadn't gotten taken out of the... Kenyon Green can't even protect C.J. Stroud from C.J. Stroud.
Right.
You end up getting an injury because of bad pass blocking, and C.J. Stroud hits Kenyon Green.
He can't protect
himself.
He can't
even pass block Kenyon Green.
He can't even protect himself from C.J. Stroud. Yeah.
He can't pass block C.J. Stroud. Right.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right.
Forget the best defensive tackles in the league. He can't even pass block C.J. Stroud himself. He got taken out by C.J. Stroud on that play.
Yeah. Landed right on his shoulder, man.
Some people thought he might have been faking the injury. Having had my shoulder dislocated, I knew exactly when that happened that was a dislocated shoulder.
You could see it.
Shoulder.
It was, yeah.
That was, yeah. He had his arm extended, got pressure down from the, ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
and I feel bad that he's injured, and yet, you know what? I don't think the Texans were going to bench him. I can't trust them.
No.
I can't trust them. I don't know what they're making moves to. I don't know if they care about protecting C.J. Stroud. This is like the greatest irony of it. Like, I understand the theories that, okay, well, they want to try to extract some trade value out of Kenyon Green. By playing him, right. what is Kenyon Green done in the last 2 weeks where him being on the field has helped out his trade value? Not a damn thing.
Okay.
You're guaranteeing nobody's going to trade for him.
Let me ask you this. Have you allowed your brain to go to a place, and again, maybe I'm being overreactive to this, but hey, sports talk radio, and we've been through this before with a quarterback and this particular agent. Do you ever get concerned watching CJ get beat up like this, and if it keeps happening for a year or two, that Mulligetta steps in?
Well, it happens for 2 more years. It'll be more that we're like, oh boy, I hope we've got enough money for this GoFundMe that they're giving for CJ to get a third artificial leg,
right?
Or
right.
Whatever that. Yeah, yeah.
Like, but seriously,
he's on his third leg replacement already.
Does your mind?
Yeah,
ever
I do.
Go there?
Yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. If they can't look, I'll go back to as we talked about earlier. In 2021, where the turnaround really started for the Lions was when in week 9, they switched to Ben Johnson as their play caller. And they didn't win a bunch of games that year, but they were a different team. They were a different offense. They were plucky upstarts that everybody loved at that point. And it started with swapping out the play caller. Last year, the Buffalo Bills switched their play caller midway through the season, and it made a difference.
Yeah.
And, so anything's on the table right now. This is where the rubber meets the road. There's multiple things that wrong with this offense right now. The return of Nico Collins is going to be nice, and it's going to help. But it's hard to think that that's going to be the only thing. And the offensive line swapping out the left guard with either a veteran or if Jared Patterson ends up being a revelation or something, that can help. But there's times where, man, CJ needs more answers to the test. CJ needs more options. CJ's starting to look, we've seen really since the Green Bay game, CJ's been more inaccurate in moments where he does have good pass protection.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of throws that CJ typically makes look really easy that have gone errant, yeah. And we've seen it for 3 weeks in a row now. I don't know if that's because of an injury he's playing through or because he's that rattled by the poor pass protection. But yeah, 100%. If it went like this, if CJ at the end of 3 or 4 years is starting to, is still a mediocre offense, this is a middling NFL offense right now, they're atrocious in the second half. They're one of the worst in the league in the second half. Then, yeah, I think I could totally see a Mulligetta angling out of Houston.
I guess,
and it wouldn't be CJ's fault.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and we get it. Like, it's week 9 of his second year. But I think about it all the time because of the whole Deshaun situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, maybe
that's
how I process my scars from this situation. I'm not saying CJ's Deshaun, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But he's got the same age.
Why'd you wink when you said that? That was awful, Sean.
Wink.
My God.
Because I wink at you all the time. What are you talking about?
Yeah, look. All right. They've got I wish these games had been switched. It would be so much easier. They could get beat by 48, the Lions, and it would be easier for me to talk my way back from this one.
Yes.
And then seeing Titus Howard's claim after the game that they were the better team, but they let it slip away. I just don't know what version of football these guys know and understand where you can go up, come out of that game and say you're the better team than the team that just beat you. There was no part of that second half where the Texans looked like the better team.
No.
Was there a single moment where they looked like a better team in the second half?
No. Well, one play when CJ threw to Tank Dell for 50 yards. I'm like, oh, they are so much better than the Jets on this play. For 50 yards to Tank Dell. Other than that, no. No, in the second half, you said there were 3 drives of substance in the second half that the Jets had. They were all long touchdown drives that ate up 6 minutes worth of clock.
Listen to this dude saying that they were the better team. They let it slip away. First drive of the second half. Jets 70-yard touchdown drive.
Yes.
Okay, wow, they got lucky there, I guess.
Right.
Ooh, Texans, counteract that. With a 20-yard field goal drive. Right. It was very inspirational there. You knew that things were brewing then.
Yeah.
Jets follow up, 70-yard touchdown drive. Carbon copy of the first one.
Yep.
But the Texans, plucky and dominant team that they were that night, they follow up with a 12-play missed field goal drive.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They had gotten down and earned a field goal drive, but then they botched. They managed to botch that. Thanks a lot, Kymie Fairbairn.
Right.
But they still couldn't punch it in the end zone. Next play after that, 80-yard touchdown drive by the Jets, who aren't the better team, according to Tytus Howard.
Tytus Howard, yeah. These were all really lucky 8 to 12 play drives that they were putting together.
The Jets had 3 70-plus-yard touchdown drives in the second half. Yeah. The Texans had 2 field goal drives and a missed field goal drive in the second half.
Yeah.
But somehow, in Titus's mind, they were the better team that night.
Yeah, but Seth.
God, I got to live in that world, man. Seth, I got to live in that world where, nope, everything's great.
Seth,
everything's great.
How many Instagram followers does Tyron Smith have?
That's true.
You know what
That's
I mean?
True. Yeah.
How many? Add them up. Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith. How many Instagram followers do they have?
They don't get it, man.
I bet it's less than Laremy and Tytus.
This offense is so unswarm.
Yeah.
Like, how many guys are in the circle of swarm right now in the offense? I would say after last night's game.
Joe Mixon was the only one.
Yeah. C.J. Stroud, right. And C.J. Stroud by, he's in the season-long circle
of swarm. Sheer toughness alone, he deserves to be in there.
But on the field last night, Tank Dell, I would put in the circle of swarm from last night.
If I had to, I would, yeah. But it's
But they don't score. But again, they didn't score any touchdowns in the second half. Again.
Yeah.
Six touchdowns in the second half the entire season
All season long. Yeah.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.